All right, brethren, let's turn to Ezekiel 37. A little cool out there this morning. Good day to get locked out. So get started a little late. Now, our text will be Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. It's the familiar passage of the valley of dry bones. Let's read verses 1 through 3 together. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, in the immediate context, he's speaking of the resurrection of the whole house of Israel out of Babylonian captivity. There was a man named Cyrus, who God sent from another country. He wasn't from their land. He was from another land. He came in. He was a king. And he redeemed them from Babylonian captivity. Cyrus himself was a picture of Christ. In the immediate context, that's what it speaks of. And then prophetically, it speaks about the resurrection of the whole house of God's elect Israel. When Christ came the first time, the preeminence was given to Israel. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who he came to first. And he resurrected, as it were. He called out his disciples, and he began calling out many in Israel. And then on the day of Pentecost, he called out a great host out of Israel. And then he called many more right after that. And then he turned to the Gentiles and started calling his elect Israel from among the Gentiles. And Christ will not stop till he's called all his whole house, all the elect of God to him. And then when he does that, he's calling us to our land. He's calling us to heavenly Jerusalem, to the Mount Zion, heaven's Mount Zion, to the church of God, the kingdom of God. And he won't stop till he's called them all. But what we're going to focus on today is my favorite application of this text. And it's speaking to what God does through the preaching of the gospel to each individual elect child. How that God comes and gives life and faith in Christ. Very beautiful, very, very beautiful picture. Now, several times recently when I'm preaching, this verse has come to my mind in the middle of the message while I'm sitting there preaching. This keeps coming to my mind. And the reason it does is this. I'll preach and I'll tell you what the scriptures say. Men by nature, unless God's given them life, men by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead. Spiritually cut off from God so that you can't hear God. You can hear me speak and you can hear what I'm saying right here, but you can't enter into it, and you cannot believe God unless God gives you the ability to do it. And you hear me preach that. Men are dead. Men have no ability. Men can't hear. Men don't understand. Sinners can't bring themselves to God. You hear me say that. And then you'll hear me say, hear this word. You'll hear me say, believe on the Lord. You'll hear me say, repent. You'll hear me say, come to Christ. And when I'm doing that, this thought comes to my mind. The lost people who hear me preach have got to be thinking, you just told me I'm dead. You just told me I have no ability. You just told me I can do nothing. And then you tell me to hear? Then you tell me to come to Christ and you tell me to believe on Christ? Why did you tell me to do what you just told me I can't do? Well, that's our subject today. Why tell dead sinners to hear? Why tell dead sinners
to hear.
Well, the reason we preach and the reason we call dead sinners to hear the word of the Lord is because God commands it. And God promises that as we preach His works, as we say, hear the word of the Lord, hear what God will do, and we tell you what God will do, God promises through that message that He will come and He will speak life and He will raise up His child and give them faith to believe on Christ. That's why we preach to dead sinners and say, hear. Now, I want to show you that in our text. First of all, what we see here is it is God who sends His preacher to His people. You see, God's in control of everything that's taking place concerning His gospel and this whole world. God sends His preacher to His people. Look at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of dry bones. Now, when you hear the truth that God saves His people through the preaching of the gospel, some people often will have questions like this. Well, if God saves through the preaching of the gospel, that's how God said He'd save. It pleased God to save through the foolishness of preaching. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and a preacher can't preach unless he's sent of God. And you hear this message and you think, okay, well, what if somebody is separated in a remote area of the world and they have no way of getting to the gospel? They have no way of hearing the gospel preached. What about them? Or you hear them say something like, what if a sinner dies before he ever gets opportunity to hear the gospel? Well, here's the problem with that. God is sovereign over heaven and earth. You know what sovereignty means? It means God rules everything, from the least little thing to the greatest thing. The Scripture says a sparrow does not fall to the ground without God's consent. It says the hairs of your head will not fall except God permit it. And then it says, those are little things. Then it says, the king, the president of the United States, heart is in the hand of the Lord, and He turns it whithersoever He will. You see, God's in control of the greatest things and the least things. If He was not, He wouldn't be God. This is the very definition of God. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. That's who God is. That's who He is. And it's the hand of the Lord that sends God's preacher to God's people. Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. You reckon Ezekiel would have just decided one day, I'm going to go to this valley? He didn't even know where the valley was. He didn't even know what valley to go to. God put His hand on him, and God carried him out, and God took him to this valley. And God sends His preacher exactly where He'll have His preacher to be, because He knows where His people are. God does. You see, God's ruling and controlling where His people are, and He's ruling and controlling where His preachers are. And He's able to bring them together. Look here at verse 1. He set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Now, brethren, just wonder how many valleys there were in that land. Wonder how many valleys there were over there in all that land surrounding Israel. Wonder how many valleys there are. And yet God took him and set him down in this particular valley. Put him right here in this particular valley. You remember one time in Acts, it tells us the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Asia to preach the gospel. I can just see, I can be in his shoes. He's thinking, well, that's a very populated place. It's a place where they need to hear. And maybe I feel like the Lord's calling me to go to Asia. And the Scripture says the Spirit of God forbid him to preach the gospel in Asia. You mean God will not let the gospel be preached in some places? That's what He did in Asia at that point. He would not let Paul go to Asia to preach. And then Paul said, well, we'll go to Bithynia to preach. And the Scripture says the Holy Spirit forbid him to go to Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit turned him and sent him to Macedonia. And he went to Macedonia,
And the Lord led him out to a riverside. And there he finds a group of ladies praying by the riverside. And there's Lydia, one of God's elect sheep. Paul preaches the gospel to her, and God saved her. You see what I'm saying? Another time, Paul was at Corinth. He got to receiving lots of opposition at Corinth. And he was wondering, should he leave Corinth? There's all this idolatry and all this idol worship, and he thought, maybe I should leave Corinth. Acts 18:9 says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul. And he said, Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace. Preach my gospel. And he said this, For I am with you, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." He said, "There's not a soul going to touch you, Paul." How could anybody say that unless they had the power to make it happen? And he said, and here's the reason I'm telling you to keep preaching here, "For I have much people in this city." There was this man named Philip. He takes a trip one day. The Lord leads him out, and he gets to this crossroads. And one road is the new highway that goes down to Gaza. One's the old highway. Nobody's taking that highway anymore. Well, he, for some reason, takes the old highway. And he goes out there in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the backside of the desert, and gets out there, and God crossed his path with an Ethiopian eunuch taking the same highway. And the Scripture says, "The Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." To this chariot. And he preached the gospel to him, and God saved him. You see, there's cases, I've seen this, where you'll have a preacher, a young man or maybe an older gentleman, but he'll be preaching at a place, under a pastor, helping out, preaching and teach and what have you. And that pastor, something happens to him. He has to step down, or Lord moves him or something like that. And you think, well, that's just the obvious choice. That man right there that's been there, been ministering to those people, that's the obvious choice to be the preacher for those people. And the Lord will take that man and move him clear across to another place in the country. And take another preacher from some other part of the country and bring him to those people. You see, it's God who gives his preacher to his people. And he brings them right where they need to be. Now, secondly, let's look at this second thing. Here's the second point. The Lord not only sends his preacher where he'll have him to be, the Lord makes his preacher know the power is not of us, but of God. Before he ever sends his preacher to preach, he's going to make you to know the power is of God. It's not of us. It's not of the preacher. Look at verse 2. "The Lord caused me to pass by these dry bones round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" God caused Ezekiel to go out there and to walk around in a valley full of dry bones. He's causing him to become acquainted with the death of these bones. And there he is. He's walking around in that valley, and it looks like a battle has taken place. This looks like a battlefield. There's bones just strewn all over that valley, everywhere. They're separated from one another. They're just scattered out everywhere in that valley. Something devastating has happened here. A terrible battle has taken place. And these bones, he looks at these bones, and they're very, very dry. You've seen those old, sometimes you come across out in the country, an old white, bleached, dry bone. These bones have been dead a long time. Long time. A long time ago, in the garden, Satan entered, and there was a battle. And mankind lost. Because we were all in that one man, Adam. We're all going to be born of that one man, Adam, right there. And God made him upright, God made him righteous, and put him in that garden. But when he sinned against God, he disobeyed God, and he killed the whole human race. We come into this world dead, dry bones, unable to give ourselves life, unwilling to give ourselves life. We don't want to have anything to do with the true and living God. Now, we'll worship an idol in a heartbeat. We'll worship some man-made God that depends on us to do something, depends on us to pay for our sins, depends on us to buy indulgences, and depends on us to do all these works to appease Him. We'll worship that God because we're in control of that God. He can't do anything but what we let Him do. But the true and living God, the God who says, you're just a dead bone, you can't do a thing, we won't worship that God. We're dry, dry bones. And God makes His preacher to know this is the case of every sinner born of Adam. And until we know this, until we understand what took place in the garden, we're not fit to preach the gospel. I want you to look over to Romans 3. I want you to see God's Word, see what He says about His people. You're familiar with this, but maybe today will be the first time somebody actually really hears it. Look at Romans 3 and verse 10. It says here, as it is written, as it's written. It's from Psalm 14, from Psalm 53. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Look at Romans 7 and look at verse 18. Now, Paul here has been regenerated, and he knows this about himself now, so he can speak honestly about his old fleshly man. And he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in that part of me that's born of Adam, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Look at Romans 8, and look here at verse 6. To be carnally minded, that is to mind the things of the flesh, to mind earthly things, to mind your will and your ability and how you think God is and how you think God saves and all the worldly things that the natural man minds. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And here's why it's death, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. He doesn't say there the carnal mind sometimes feels a little hatred towards God. He says all that the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's all the natural man is. He hates God with every fiber of his being. Why? Because God takes all the glory away from man. God takes it all away and gives it all to God. And natural man says, I will not have that man reign over me. Look here now. He says, for it's not the natural man's not sub the natural mind's not subject to the law of God. They're not a dead sinner in here, not a dead sinner in the sound of my voice that is in submission to the Word of God. Not one. Not one. Neither indeed can be. They can't make themselves be in submission to it. Now that's what you are, and that's what I am, as we come forth the first time from our mother's womb. Conceived in sin, the Scripture says. Now, until a preacher learns this about Adam's race, he can't preach. He can't preach. There's an old saying, wrong on the fall, wrong on it all. And if a man doesn't know that all sinners are dead in trespasses and sins, then he will preach, putting the work into the hand of sinners, trying to make sinners like him, and trying to make sinners using some other means to try to get them to Christ. He'll do it every time because he doesn't realize he's preaching to people that are just totally dead. You go out there in a cemetery and you speak all you want to dead people and see what happens. Nothing. Nothing. Here's the spirit God gives his true preacher. Verse 3. He said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Now, judging by the appearance, I'd have to say no. Judging by my inability to give them life, I'd have to say, no, they can't live. But listen to Ezekiel's answer. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Before Ezekiel was used of God in this valley, he was made to lay down all his understanding, all his so-called ability, all everything that he thought he might be able to use, he was made to lay that all down at the feet of God and say, Lord, you know. You know. You know. And before God will use his preacher, he's going to bring us to see that we are totally insufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Of God. Of God. We have this treasure, Scripture says, and the gospel is a treasure. And we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That's all I am, is just an earthen vessel. Just like you would take, you take water and you take a pitcher, just an old clay pot, and you fill that pitcher up with water, and you use that pitcher to carry the water to some thirsty man and pour the water out to that thirsty man. The pot is nothing but a vessel. That's all it is. It's a vessel to carry the water. That's what God's preacher is. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Scripture says that the power may be of God and not of us. You see, when I'm preaching to you and telling you that sinners are dead by nature, I'm not just telling you that you don't have any power. I'm also telling you I don't have any power. I've got no power to give you life. I've got no power to do anything for you. None at all. I'm just a vessel set to preach this word. But I'll tell you this. The greatest peace a preacher will have, I'd hate to be in the shoes of those fellows that are having to try to do all kind of public marketing and all kinds of PR work to try to keep the people in the pew, get them in the pews, and keep them in the pews. I'd hate to be in their shoes. I'd hate that. Here's the peace I have of knowing. I don't have any ability. I don't have any way to give life or keep sinners at the feet of Christ. But here's what my peace is. Lord, thou knowest. He knows. That's peace. Oh boy, that's peace. If you don't have that peace, you get in the middle of a hornet's nest and things are going south on you, I'm telling you, you'll start trying to try every kind of vain means possible. But if you got that peace, you just wait on God. Lord, you know. All right, here's the third thing. Now, we see here now the twofold charge that God gives to all His true servants. Here's the twofold charge. First of all, God charges us to preach the word of the Lord. Now, hear me when I say that. Hear it again. He charges His preacher to preach the word of the Lord. When I stand up to preach, you don't hear me give a whole lot of lengthy introductions and just say things that I want to say to you and what have you. I don't do that. What I do is I want to start out reading the Word of God to you. I want you to get your minds centered and focused on God's Word from the very beginning. I want us to know that what we're hearing is not man's Word, it's God's Word. Now here's what He said. Look here now, verse 4. And again, the Lord said unto me, prophesy. That means preach. Preach unto these bones, and say unto them. He not only told them to preach, he gave them the message. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He said, preach to them and tell them to do what they're utterly incapable of doing. That makes sense to us, to the natural mind, does it? Can you picture the picture? There's Ezekiel out in the middle of a valley full of dead, dry bones, and he's to walk around those dead, dry bones and say, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That just makes you smile to think of that picture, don't it? That's what I'm doing right here. Exactly what I'm doing right here. Think how foolish that appeared. These bones are dead. They don't have life. This is why I'm preaching this to you now. Several times lately, like I said, I've been preaching, and I tell you the carnal mind's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It can't be. And then I'll say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear this wonderful message of God's gospel. And I look out and I see a blank stare looking back at me, as if to say, why in the world are you telling me to do what I can't do? You just told me I can't do this, and now you're telling me to do it. Well, here's the answer. Here's why. It's because the Lord said, preach to these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's why. Now notice here, Ezekiel's the mouthpiece, but the word is the Lord's. And the one speaking is the Lord's. Now here's the message he says. This is the message I preach to you every time I stand here. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. He said, hear the word of the Lord. Hear what God says. And he says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. And that's what I preach to you. I preach to you what God says to sinners like you and me. Thus saith the word of God to dry bones like you and me. Now here's what God said. And every time I stand here, not only do I preach, thus saith the Lord, I'm preaching the glorious doctrine of free will. Every time I stand here. The glorious doctrine of free will. Look at it with me. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will. I will. Now there's the free will right there. The only one that has a free will is God. He's the only one. Listen to it. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You see, we don't have a free will. We're dead. How much free will does a dead man have? Huh? How much free will do them dry bones have? The free will is God, and we know that because and we know it's not of us. We know it's God's will because He says, I will cause breath to enter into you, and then you shall live. You see that? It's got to be God's will because we're just dead. We're just dead. But when God performs this upon you, you know what's going to happen? Some sitting here right now hear me, a lost sinner. I guarantee it. It's always the case wherever you are. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just, this is how it is wherever you are. There's a lost sinner that always hears you, and they sit there hearing you, and in their heart, they're thinking. If they can scream out as loud as they wanted to, here's what they're saying in their heart. I don't believe a word you're saying. That's not true. That's not the God I worship. No, sir. Well, when are you going to know the true God? When He says here, when I cause breath to enter you, and I cause you to live, He says, you shall know that I am the Lord. It's the only time you know it. Believer, is that not so? When did you know it was God working? When God gave you life, first time. That's when you knew. That's when you knew. And this gospel is the gospel by which He gives life, and not only that, but He brings His people together. He constrains His people. He brings His people together. You picture the picture here. He calls sinews to come up on these bones, just like we have on our skeleton, which holds it all together. And it brought these bones together. That's what He does. When He starts convicting a sinner in his heart, He brings that sinner together with His people. There's a great shaking. There's a great trembling. He brings them together with His people. But it's God doing it. It's God constraining them, bringing them together. That's the first charge, though. Preach to my people. Now, here's the second charge. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, both the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Preach to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Our Lord Jesus said then, what's this wind? Our Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, there's two different people in a believer. There's flesh and there's spirit. And he says, the wind blows where it will. This wind's the Holy Spirit. The wind blows. God, the Holy Spirit goes where it will. You can hear the sound, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. He's doing His will. He comes and He works His will. Now notice, he says, pray to the Spirit. Pray to the Spirit. Declare to the Spirit. Preach to the Spirit. Say, thus saith the Lord God, come. You see, we have the warrant of God who's promised us He'll send the Holy Spirit. And He says, now you say to the Spirit, thus saith the Lord God. This is what my Lord promised me. Oh, Holy Spirit, that you'll come. You'll come. And here's the other thing. By commanding us to pray, He's teaching His preacher to be always, constantly, totally dependent upon God to work the work. That's why Peter, when they had that issue in Acts, he said, look out some men that take care of this. Fellows here in the church, take care of these things, need to be taken care of. I will give myself, we, the preachers, will give ourselves to the Word of God and to prayer. We'll give ourselves to it because we're utterly dependent on God. Now lastly, here's the result of God's grace. Here's the result. So I prophesied as He commanded me. That's the first result of God's grace. His preachers are going to obey Him. I preached like God told me to, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Remember when the Lord was at Lazarus' tomb? Mary and Martha said, He's been dead 3 days. He stinks by now. And the Lord stood there and He said, Lazarus, come forth. And here He comes. He came out of that tomb, covered in His grave clothes, walked right out of that tomb. Brethren, I'm here to tell you, that's not just a fictional tale. That happened. That happened. The Lord did that. And I'll tell you why I know the Lord did that, because the Lord did the same thing to this sinner. I was just as dead as Lazarus was physically. I was that dead spiritually. And God spoke and said, let there be life. And there was life. That's what He does every time He raises a dead sinner. Now, here's my last question for you. Why did God allow sin to enter in and death by sin? If God's so sovereign, and He is, why did He allow sin to enter in the garden and all mankind to die in sin? Why did He do that in the first place? It's because when He overcomes death by His power, when He shows you how that Christ laid down His life at Calvary's tree in the room instead of His people and purged the sin of His people and redeemed His people and conquered sin, death, and hell for His people. And He shows you how He comes into you and He conquers death in you. And makes you to behold Christ and to believe on Christ. When He does this work, He says, then you're going to know I am the great I am. Look here at verse 11. Let's just read it out. Then He said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is God's elect people. That's who it is. The whole house of God's chosen people, Jew or Gentile. That's who they are. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we're cut off by our parts. And when God first causes this shaking in you, that's what you're going to say. You're going to see your sin and you're going to say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We're cut off by our parts. Therefore preach and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And I'd say again, that's a spiritual land, brethren. That's the heavenly Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem which is above. That's His heavenly Mount Zion. That's the spiritual application. And He really did bring them back to Israel after He brought them out of Babylon, but that's the spiritual application. Heavenly Jerusalem. And He says, I lost my place. Verse 13, and you shall know that I am the Lord, He said, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So you see, Why do I preach to dead sinners and say here? It's because God commands us to do these two things. Preach, thus saith the Lord. Preach all His works. Tell everybody that He's going to be the one that comes in. He's going to be the one that gives life. He's going to be the one that shows you that He's redeemed you and saved you and called you. It's all His works. That's why when I stand here, I don't preach your works. I don't preach man's works. I preach God's works every time. And I know people that are lost to say, I just get so tired of hearing him preach that. All he ever does is preach God's works. He don't ever tell me what to do. Well, I'm sent to tell you God's works. I'm sent to tell you God's works. And I'm to pray. That's it. Two things. Preach and pray. That's it. And the Lord said, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, he has everlasting life, and he shall not come into condemnation, but he's passed from death unto life. And verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour's coming, and it now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And he said, and then shall you know, and I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you that the power is all of you. Thank you that you call your preachers, give them this charge, make it effectual in them. Send them forth and make their paths cross with your people, just as you'd have it done. We pray, Lord, now that you'd cause the word to go forth and actually make dead sinners live. Lord, I've preached it, like you said, and now I'm asking you, send the Holy Spirit. Give dead sinners life. Make your people, to hear and live. We're dependent entirely on you to do it. We're thankful that it's that way. Forgive us now, Lord, our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.